Well, I want us to take a moment and just walk through some stuff and review. First of all, this is our theme, this hashtag, Better Together. Everybody say, Better Together.
Better Together.
All right, let's have some fun with that. Ready? And let's hashtag Better Together. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Hashtag Better Together. Get your hashtag up there. You ready? All right. Staff knows all about the hashtags. No, here we go. One, two, three. Hashtag Better Together. One more time. Hashtag Better Together. I just have so much fun with that. Because here's the deal, gang. Here's the deal. And if we can go to the next slide, this is just something I can't get away from. Christine Kane, that she said, and let's read this together. We aren't meant, join me, let's start again. Here we go. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. We are all better together. That's not just something I made up or Christine Kane put on Twitter and I thought, that's pretty cool. That is a biblical principle. Last week we talked about being devoted to one another. I saw yesterday, as some of you did, I know Phil was there and Todd, they saw, and some of you were there as well, what was happening in Delaware County as thousands came together at Meijer, at Toyota, and all across the county in making sure that around 400 or so families had Christmas better together. It was this idea of Al Holdren and his wife Chris out of a Christmas time they were sharing as a family back in about 04, that they said, you know, there are people around us that won't get to have Christmas this year. That thing has grown and grown. And I watched yesterday as people had different responsibilities. I'm the donut guy, okay? I'm the donut guy. Is Gary here this morning? I didn't see Gary come in. Gary's like the head wrapper, you know, over at Toyota, making sure everybody has paper. There were people from different schools, all different walks of life. There were people that were red and yellow, black and white. There were people who were Democrats and Republicans, probably even a libertarian in the crowd somewhere. There were people who were rich people. There were people who were poor people, all for one day. None of that mattered because we were coming together to minister to families. That's what this thing is about in what we talk about as we look at this devotion. And this morning, the idea of being like-minded together. Let's look at a couple of slides here. This slide was the scripture from last week that we looked at about being devoted. It said in one translation, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And we see, if we go on to the next slide, this thought was brothers, or the word adelphos, is found 230 times in the New Testament. When I saw that fact, I thought, that must be important. And it's used specifically to talk about us as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And the next slide basically is the translation, the word brothers literally means from the same womb. When I shared that with somebody this week, one of our mutual friends, they texted back and they said, that makes us womb mates. All right. So we are literally womb mates. So welcome this morning. Now, as we get started, I want to share something. How many of you recognize this game? Let's look at the next slide. How many of you recognize this game? Anybody know this game? All right. This is a fun game. It only takes, you have to have four people. And really it says ages 12 and up. You can play it even if you're younger. But this game, Apples to Apples, is all about getting into the mind of the person who plays the green card, all right? The green card, not the green card you're thinking about, okay? The green card comes with an adjective or some kind of phrase. This one says touch and go. All right, that's the theme, touch and go. And the person who is the judge has the green card and they pull the card off the stack and they say, touch and go. Well, everybody who's part of this game has seven of these red cards. And their cards will say stuff like crime and punishment, frog and toad. I love frog and toad. Anyway, frog and toad, the Lord of the Rings. Some of you, oh, look, death and taxes. Don't talk about that one. Big Bird, gold and silver, food poisoning. There's just all these different subjects that are on the red card. Now, here's what happens is the judge, he takes the green card and he says, okay, touch and go. Touch and go means indecisive, uncertain, insecure. And the people with the red cards are like, what you try to do is you try to think, okay, the judge has played the touch and go card. Now, what in my stack here is going to be matching the green card so that as all the players lay their cards out and the judge reads their card, they'll say, That's what I think of when I think of touch and go. And so you look at these cards, like, how could crime and punishment, but the person that has the red card is it's played, and they don't know who's playing which card. But they try to make an argument for why the judge should have it match this, apples to apples. And you get points. If the judge picks your card, then it rotates around, somebody else picks the next green card. Now, I thought about that because our responsibility as Christians is God has all the green cards, okay? He's got all the green cards, and it has all kinds of things that are here, warm and cozy, black and blue, clever, whimsical, all these cards. And our responsibility as Christians, as God lays out a card that says whimsical, we're supposed to think, okay, in God's mind, what can I put out there that will help him understand what I think he thinks whimsical is all about? Now, that may be a long illustration, but the idea is this, is like-mindedness. It doesn't make any difference what my cards I play in life are. My goal is to say, God, what is on your mind? Amen. So that when the situations of life come at me, I can play the card that will be like-minded with what you are thinking right now. We literally, as Christians, we're called to be like-minded in Jesus. Let's look at the next slide if we could. This is the scripture for today. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, it's not just this idea of like-minded, like everybody dresses like I do, everybody talks like I do, everybody does the same activities that I do. That's not what like-mindedness is. That may be, you know, we're uniform in that respect. And we're all walking the same walk and talking the same talk, but like-minded to Christ Jesus, according to Christ Jesus. Let's say that together. According to Christ Jesus. This is the deal. The standard is Jesus. And Jesus has all the cards. He's the standard. He's the one that we're trying to play our card in life that will match up with his card, with his mind. And so the goal is, Jesus, what's it going to take for me to direct my life in such a way that lines up with what you are thinking right now? I understand the WWJD. It's also WWJT. What is Jesus thinking? What is Jesus thinking right now? And how am I going to direct my steps? And how am I going to follow that pattern so that I understand what he has for my life? Last week, Jesus set the tone. And I thought the more I thought about it, the more it got a hold of me. Jesus set the tone in John chapter 13, knowing that his time had come. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be beaten. He knew that nails were going to go in his hands, his feet. A spear was going in his side. He was going to the cross. Jesus knew. In the midst of that knowing, he stopped. And what did he do in John 13? He washed their feet. He stopped and served and washed their feet. I shared that last Sunday and hit it again Wednesday night. Sometimes if we found out we only had a short time left, we'd be like, hey, I'm going on a cruise. Or hey, I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go get in the buffet at Ponderosa and just stay there for the rest of the day. You know, that would be my answer, okay? All right, I'm a foodaholic. I'm a recovering foodaholic. And if I knew only had a short time left, that would be my first stop would be Ponderosa. Or Willie and Red's, what you're called, all right? That would be my stop. And I'd be like, ah. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He took time and continually devoted himself to those who are around him as he was preparing to go to the cross. He was truly devoted. Now, here's the story today. It's all about like-mindedness. And this is Jesus, and he sets the tone for this like-mindedness in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we looked at that passage in Romans 15. Let's look at another scripture. It's John chapter 17, because this is the last prayer he prayed, except for some statements on the cross. This was his prayer for us, and some of us have been, Dave and Ilona and others, we've been, right, Trish and Laura, we've been to that spot, Don and Joe, we've been to that spot right there where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he literally sweat drops of blood. And notice what he says in John chapter 17, down at verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer, John 17, 11, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. And look at the last phrase in John 17, 11, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is praying for unity in the life of the church. He's praying for unity in the life of the church. And that unity is not, again, it's not that we dress the same or talk the same or act the same. That unity is based on His mindset in us. We've gotten in trouble in the past, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent very long this morning, but we've gotten in trouble in the past because sometimes we thought unity was about uniformity, and if you would dress like this, you would appear to be a more holy person than if you dressed otherwise. That was part of our goal in talking about living the righteous, holy, sanctified life. But the goal in living the righteous, holy, sanctified life is found in John chapter 17 in this verse when he says that they may be one as we are one, that they would have this mind that we have. Let's look further down in verses 20 through 23. Jesus is praying, saying, Father, I've completed the mission. Jesus is praying, saying, Father, be with my disciples. And then in verse 20, look at what happens in John 17, 20. Jesus prays for us. For us. My prayer is not for them alone, those guys that are sleeping here in the garden, the others that will eventually scatter before the night is over. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, he says, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world, and this is the key, this is how people come to faith in Jesus. It's because they see that we are one. And he says in the last part of verse 21, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know. This is again, here's that catchphrase. May they be brought in complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In the life of the body of Jesus, there are no haves versus have-nots. We all have grace that's been given to us. We all have mercy that's been extended. We all have love that He wants to pour into our hearts and lives, and we can pour into the hearts and lives of others. You understand what I'm saying? We have to, and this is why Jesus, and that's where it was all settled. I've told you this before. People talk about when He said on the cross, it is finished. That's powerful. That's super powerful. He's been beaten again and again and again. He's just hanging on by a thread. I think, though, in the Garden of Gethsemane, just my thinking, this is where it was the ground zero time. And in the midst of that prayer, He knew everything that was coming. He's sweating drops of blood. And He says this, Father, may they be one as we are one. That's why when I hear people on the radio that are on, whether they're on K-Love or on Moody, and they're preaching along, I'm like, I may have a different look at that, but as long as it's from the Bible, you go. Right. You go. I just, too many times we're scattered. We're so scattered, and Jesus is praying this thought here about unity. The unity that existed between Him and His Father, He was praying we would experience that in the body of Jesus. Lack of unity destroys the church's ability to carry out its purpose. We're all about evangelism. We're all about discipleship, and I love fellowship. We're all about, on the evening of the 16th, Dan shared with us last week, on that evening at 6 o'clock, we're having a church-wide, you're welcome to come join us in the fellowship hall for a vision casting meeting. It's because under the unity and the leadership and lordship of Jesus, and I saw it happen yesterday, buying Christmas for people across Delaware County, the same thing can happen in this church and every other church that calls on Jesus as Lord. Amen. There are so many things that can happen and be dealt with in our community, and that unity just as it breaks out, because it's all about the kingdom in and around us. The kingdom in and around us. And it's a battle. It's a battle because the natural state for us is disunity. It goes all the way back to the garden, when Adam and Eve decided they wanted it their way, long before the first Whopper ever came along, you know? They wanted it their way. And that's when this disunity started. And it happens all throughout the Old and even into the New Testament. But Jesus gives us a model, a template, if you will. And this is where it happens right there in the garden. In the secular world and even in the church, we have to guard feverishly for this thing called like-mindedness. And that's where we as a church, we stand in contrast to the world. Yesterday was so neat, and I know that it wasn't just an Alan and Chris Holdren thing. It was a Delaware County thing, and front and center in a lot of these areas were people I saw from different churches that were there. That thing was infiltrated with Christians. And it was all because it just fits right into the hub of what we believe. It's so exciting. We are fighting feverishly for that unity, and we stand in contrast to the world around us. Jerusalem was a great example. The church that in Acts chapter 2, let's go from John on over to Acts chapter 2. The resurrection has taken place. Jesus has ascended. Pentecost has happened. And what do we see happening in Acts chapter 2? A great model of unity, like-mindedness. Look at the scripture we have on the board up here, on the wall. It says, and they, continuing daily with one another, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and what? Singleness of heart. Isn't that awesome? You know, I'm just thinking about that night of the 17th, when we get to, or 16th, night of 16th, when we get together and we're celebrating and planning and visioning, it's all about this idea of how can we take the message of Jesus to those around us? All along the way of people that we meet, whether it be people throughout the church, throughout this immediate area, in the workplace, in school, in government buildings, because we do have people that are embedded all over this county and in counties around us. They're embedded for Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that night. Now, the next scripture is there in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. There it is, unity. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. All things in common. Now see, we get confused about this because that's a physical picture, and it should happen. I mean, that's why we tithe. That's one of the reasons we tithe, because we understand it belongs to God anyway, and so we're just bringing back what's already his. That's the commonality. That's the unity we have. But it's also, again, it's that like-mindedness as we move forward. Now, it wasn't long before problems came along. Luke records that certain needy widows were being neglected in the distribution of food. That happens today. There was a lack of unity. What did they do? Well, they got together, and in Acts chapter 6, you know what? We need to get some men who are qualified, and what does it say in Acts 6? People filled with the Holy Spirit that have says known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Verse 3, and they need to give that work to them, because we're going to be dedicated to the ministry of prayer and the word. That's our job, and they'll have their job. I thought it was so awesome yesterday. That's why this is so fresh in my mind. There were people that all they had to do was just help make sure that whatever was purchased was in the bag. There are other people that were assigned to make sure that if they came up short on what they could spend on different families, they run it over to a cart that had different items in it, okay? And if you've seen this, it's awesome. They've got this system. It's quite fabulous. Anyway, they've got these carts, and they're carts with towels, you know? I'm like, surely you're not buying towels for a child, you know? Get the Connect Four, you know, or get the game Sorry, whatever it is, or buy the Nerf gun. You know, Al kept talking about the Nerf gun. I hope they had a run on Nerf guns yesterday, because kids love those kind of things. Don't get the towels. Now, if it's for grandma, get the towels, okay? But anyway, that's another story. But this idea that the body had that function, and that's what they decided. We've got to reach out to these that aren't being ministered to. All along the way, Paul's concern was for unity. It's the biblical expectation for us as the church to be united in Jesus, the same mind, the same goals, the same values, the same doctrine. It's all right here. I thought it was so neat. Deanie Strout, who's very busy this time of year, she put on Facebook, and I thought it was so cool, if you want a reading during the month of December, Advent starts today, why not take in December starting on the 1st and just read a chapter of Luke each day, and by the time you're at Christmas Eve, you've hit it, and then you can go back on Christmas Day and read Luke chapter 2. I thought it was so cool because I started that in Luke chapter 1, and you were in Sunday school, you saw this as well. In Luke chapter 1, I thought it was so cool, was this verse that just jumped off the page. And this is why the Word of God is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword. It jumped off the page. I read it this morning. It says, so that you may know. He's writing this letter to Theophilus, Luke is, a doctor who gives great detail and attention to those details. He says, I'm writing this letter to you, Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. I thought that is so powerful, the certainty. So as we are talking about, and one of the things that helps to affirm that unity is this thing right here. We read it in not only a letter to Theophilus, but a letter to you and me that says, you know what, as you read this letter, you can be certain about what you believe. And I know that the idea is a thrill of hope, but hope is more than just, you know, I hope that the Colts can get to the Super Bowl. It's more than that kind of hope, you know. I hope that the Patriots don't get to the Super Bowl. It's more than that kind of hope, you know. It's a big deal kind of hope. It's a big thing. It's an eternal hope. It's a hope beyond the life that I'm living now. It's a hope that's based on the fact that, and he says here, with certainty, you can know what's facing you. Okay, things that help promote unity. Let's walk down through. Affirm that unity is an important goal for the church. Should be concrete, should be visible, should be practical, not just theory. Oh yeah, that's right. Garden, Jesus prayed, John 17. Yep, we check off unity. No, it's something that we continually, because we want to be like-minded with the creator of the universe. See, this is what I think is so important, is unity is not based on me. I'm a conduit, I'm a messenger, but unity is based on the message. It's based on Jesus. And so here's the deal. If you and I get excited and we get focused on Jesus and our lives are being directed and led and motivated and inspired by Jesus as individuals, and I get with Jerry and Jerry, hey, I love Jesus. And Jerry's like, I love Jesus. And Todd says, I love Jesus. And Janie says, I love you. And Jody, like, we all love Jesus. Amen. It's like we're on the right track here. That's that whole affirming of this unity thing. It's not because I care about what I wear, they wear, I talk, they talk. It's because we love Jesus. And then the second thing, it's enhanced when the church seeks to implement that one another thing. We're talking about that. Last week it was devoted to one another, honoring one another. This week it's having the like-mindedness of one another based on Jesus. Based on Jesus. Always remember that. And then to remember that if there is disunity, it's because some people are not mature. Let's look at that passage, James chapter 4, okay? James chapter 4. We have an animal next door by the name of Ozzy. Ozzy is a little over 12 weeks old. Ozzy has outgrown Winston already. He's probably this morning about, well, since I left, he's gained another 6 or 8 ounces. So he's probably close to 23, maybe 24 pounds. But Ozzy is immature. He's immature. I was over to visit Lon and Deb Wright the other day, and they have a beautiful German short hair pointer. And I love that. Izzy's that dog. Izzy and Ozzy. I like that. Izzy and Ozzy. And Izzy just jumped this German short hair pointer, looked fully grown to me. Deb says, still not mature. Just jumped up licking and going crazy. And I was like, this is so wonderful. I love German short hair pointers. But even though the dog looked to be an adult, and the same thing happens with people. We have to make sure that we are seeking with all our heart this like-mindedness, or else we may be grown on the outside but immature on the inside. James chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? And it talks about this idea that we have got to go with the right motive. I missed a verse. I'm sorry, verse 3. You don't receive because you ask with the wrong motive. What is your motive? What is your motive? And it's more than asking a contestant on a beauty pageant stage, what is your motive? And they say, I want world peace. It's more than just saying, I want world peace. Well, I want everybody to smile. I want everybody to like me. Don't worry, be happy. No, this is that... I want people to know Jesus. Amen. I want people to know Jesus. Yes. And so whatever that looks like and how that gets unpacked is how I want the Lord to direct my steps. So let's look at the next slide, because otherwise we're going to get with the wrong motives. Steps to enhance unity in the church. You might want to write this down. The same doctrine. Affirm the same doctrine. Our position to know it, to build it, to live it, to just breathe it. And what is our policy? Our policy goes back to things such as the Sermon on the Mount, Our policy goes back to things such as the greatest commandment, which is love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Our policy goes back to the Ten Commandments. Our policy goes back to a thing in the Old Testament, which kind of got borrowed in the New Testament. Loving God, you know, there is no other God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Shema. We have to continually live in the doctrine of the Word. I get concerned when I hear people say, well, Mama always said, you know, the Forrest Gump theology, if you will, okay? Mama always said, okay, if Mama said what this says, that's fine. If Mama said it and this doesn't say it, we're in trouble. So it's that whole idea of doctrine. Another thing is diversity. Realize that there's going to be people that will look different. They will talk different. They'll dress different. We went to a get-together the other day, and I saw a person, and I won't tell you her name or where it was, but she had all these piercings all over her lips and her nose and her face and her eye and her ears, and I didn't, okay? But do you ever have those times in your mind you think things and you don't say them, you know? My dad sent a picture one time, and he had a picture of a person just like that person, and this was his statement. This is what you look like if you fall face first into a tackle box. Diversity.
Would you stand together with me? The dead microphone is a sign that it's time to pray. But I just, as we do pray this morning, I want to invite you, if you'd like to come to the altar. I know that we have several needs. I saw Laura come in, and we need to pray for Bill Caudill. I know that we want to pray for Ruth Lephart's daughter this morning, and Bill Whitehead, we want to pray for him. Just so many needs, and if you'd like to step out while we just go into a time of prayer, you're welcome to do that. And I know there are so many other needs I didn't list, but you're welcome to come and pray. You're welcome to come and pray. I know there are those that have had tests this last week that are facing more tests, medical testing that's going on, those that have doctor's appointments and upcoming surgeries, just so many things. And this morning, we also want to pray for all those families that were ministered to yesterday, and to pray that those who took time to minister will be greatly blessed this Christmas season. We want to pray that next weekend, as this thing that has happened in Delaware County spills over into Randolph County. And I know Tanya Swallow told me yesterday that her family is involved in it next week in Randolph County. I had a good visit with the leader of the effort in that county, and it's going to be a big deal there. They're already going to minister to over 100 families, and this is only like the second year of them to do this. This thing's catching. And I pray that this thing known as the gospel of Jesus would catch. I pray that there would be a unity over our church family, over our individual families, especially at Christmas time. Christmas is a stressful time. Christmas can be a depressing time. When we think about loved ones and changes that have happened in our lives where we don't celebrate Christmas like we used to, or we had a lot of tension growing up at Christmas, it can be a hard time. But let's pray that this Christmas there is a spirit of God's unity and God's presence in our lives. Jesus, this morning, the needs that are at these altars, the needs that are in this sanctuary, we lift them all to you, and we pray, Lord, that your prayer that you prayed for us would be lived out now in us. We only took parts out of John 17, but it just is so packed with several sermons. One of them was, sanctify them by your truth, by the truth, your word is truth. 17:17. That's what we want to make sure, that we are focused on your truth, that we are cleansed, that we are set aside, that we are made holy by your truth, and that's where unity comes in. Say, may your truth be unleashed in our lives today so that we know how to minister as we pray for and reach out to different needs. Jesus, all these that are here at the altar today, all these in the sanctuary, Lord, we know there are people that are hurting. We lift them to you, Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done this Christmas season. That, Father, your word will spread. That your word will spread like wildfire. As people see nativity scenes, as people see lights, as people see wreaths, as people see trees and all the other things that go with Christmas, that Father, you would be glorified. That there would be an outpouring of your Spirit in such a powerful way. That Jesus, this Christmas, there would be those that would come to faith in Christ. That would start on a new path. Bring healing, Lord, to those who are hurting today, physically as well as emotionally. We'll give you thanks. Praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's say that prayer together that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen.